This is Kwani Lunis with a very much delayed episode of The Official Review. Now, I know it's been quite a while since the last podcast dropped, but I promise we're back, and we're going to try to be more consistent this time. A lot has changed since that last episode. We were a week or so before the Olympics discussing the controversy behind Rio and the International Olympic Committee figuring out whether or not they made the right decision, but needless to say, everything went smoothly, and the world as we know it has changed a lot since then. The days after the 2016 election were interesting. I scrolled through Facebook. I usually don't go on Facebook as much, especially during that time, but I was like, why not? Let's give this a shot. And of course, every single Facebook status started with, I don't usually talk politics, but, and people proceeded to share their opinions in thesis form. And here I am, I'm gonna start with the same line. I don't usually talk politics, but here's how it affected the world of sports. The months and days leading up to the election, we saw various players, coaches, team owners publicly endorse the candidate that they saw fit for office. J.R. Smith, with a shirt on, I might add, and LeBron James were at a Hillary Clinton rally. We also watched as current president-elect Donald Trump read a letter, which he said was written to him by head coach Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots, which basically showed his support for a friend and congratulated him on his campaign. Now, the days following the election, we've seen riots and protests. People say, he is not my president. And while I won't go into depth about my political views, I can say that this election was a hard one. It was hard to realize how divided this country is. I know a lot of people felt as though this was an election where the American people couldn't win. We had two candidates, and a lot of people likened it to choosing the better of two evils. Months ago, Colin Kaepernick, quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, started a movement throughout the NFL where he took a knee during the national anthem. As an American citizen, his logic behind doing so was to state that as a black man in this country, a country that I so deeply love, I realize that there are problems within this country. And by kneeling, I want to bring light to those issues. A lot of people have said that by doing so, he disrespected our country, disrespected our flag, disrespected our military. But there's a lot of truth to what he did. When you look at the map of the United States, the night of the election, you see literally half of the country is blue and half of the country is red. Now, that is obviously for various different reasons, but the fact remains that this country is very much divided. And the most interesting part is the fact that the man who was elected into office used a lot of rhetoric that marginalized groups of people who are already marginalized in this country. So to follow up on Colin Kaepernick, he said that he did not vote in this 2016 election. And he received more backlash for that. I voted because I realized that many people died for me to have that right to vote. But I also would not criticize someone else for exercising their right not to vote. A lot of people have said, well, if you didn't vote, then you can't say anything about who we elected because you didn't let your voice be heard. This was just another time when we realized how influential sports is in everyday society. We had people who shouldn't have, but voted for Hillary just because LeBron said so. Or people who said that they wouldn't root for the Patriots anymore because Belichick wrote a letter to Donald Trump. At this point, it doesn't matter who you voted for, whether or not you voted, but I think this election should serve as a wake-up call for all. That we shouldn't wait every 4 years to have our voices be heard. What you do doesn't have to be as controversial as taking a knee during an anthem. But this election made it clear that change does need to come. So I challenge you. What will you do to create change? So now I would like to welcome in Blake Bolden, who currently is a defense woman for the Boston Pride.
Defense woman, I like that.
So I want to start with the beginning of your hockey journey. We've talked about this before, but what introduced you to hockey? How did you get into the sport?
Well, I was about 7 years old. My mother had met this man who I now call my father. And he really just introduced me to the sport. His favorite sport was ice hockey. In Cleveland, where I grew up and was born and raised, he used to take me out to all the IHL games. They were called the Cleveland Lumberjacks, and I just loved going to those games, sitting in the boxes, meeting the players. Sometimes the players would come to my birthday party. The mascot, his name was Buzz. He was awesome. He was like a little beaver. So I just like fell in love with it just by going to those games, and it built a great relationship with he and I. So I remember one day we just went to play it against sports and got all the stuff for hockey and came home, and my mom was like, what is this? I remember I was in gymnastics and ballet, and you know, I tried to be in all of these sports, but hockey was such a committing sport. And my mom was like, I don't know if she's gonna, you know, stick with this. And he was like, well, you know, let's just try it out. Never knew anything about hockey, really, besides watching it. Didn't know how to skate.
You told me you started with a chair. You were pushing it around on
the ice. Started with a chair, you know, pushing the cone. It was so awesome. It was fun. And, you know, we'd wake up at all hours of the day just to try to learn inside edges, outside edges. And I couldn't stop on my left foot for, like, the first 2 years, which is pretty embarrassing. But yeah, it started from there.
What was that moment when you realized, like, this is something I would probably end up sticking with?
I think when my dad enlisted me into a youth hockey team, I started on the B squad. And then the next season, I made double A. So I knew that I could progress in this sport fast, because from B to double A, I mean, I skipped A and then I was on the best team for my age group in a year.
So you end up playing for Boston College.
Yes.
How did that come into play?
When I decided that I thought that I was a pretty good ice hockey player, there's not a lot of female hockey in Cleveland. So I played on a lot of boys' teams growing up. Then my dad was like, okay, well, what do you want to do for high school? You want to go to prep school, or do you want to, you know, stay with the boys? So I went to prep school in Lake Placid, New York, called Northwood School. And I was the only black girl there for 4 straight years, which is fun and interesting. And I remember seeing Boston College play in the Frozen Four in Lake Placid when I was a freshman. And I was like, I'm going to that school. Immediately in my head, I was like, I'm going there. Not only because they were in the Frozen Four, but I was doing my research. I like how they played. I knew a girl on the team. Her name was Kelly Stack. She came from the same youth hockey team that I played for, the Cleveland Barons. And I was just like, well, this team hasn't won a national championship yet, but they're progressing. And I wanted to help build a program. So instantly I was like, that's where I'm going.
You ended up being coached by an Olympian as well.
Two.
Katie King Crowley.
Yeah.
How was it to work under these very influential women?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, this is embarrassing, but I was obsessed with her. When I used to go to USA hockey camps, you'd try out for these district camps and you'd go there once every summer, and different D1 coaches would be there just kind of, you know, keeping an eye out on the players, being great role models, and then overseeing each team. So I would always be like, please, please, please make her be the coach of my team.
Katie
Never
King.
Got her, yeah. And I would always go to these camps with my BC hoodie on, like my BC sweats, like all BC
fangirl
gear.
All the way.
Fangirl all the way. And like all the college coaches were like, okay, guess she's
we're
going to
skip
Boston
over her.
But yeah, I mean, Katie King, you know, we call her Kinger, is amazing. I mean, she's a stud. I mean, she's a forward, I'm a defenseman, but she's just such an awesome person. And I'm just really glad that I went to that university and, you know, got to meet her, and as well as Courtney Kennedy, who's an Olympian as well. And she's a defenseman. And I really worked alongside her more often than I did Katie, but it was just an awesome experience being with both of them. They're fun. They have great energy. They're very motivational. And you learn not only how to play hockey, but you learn character and just how to be a better person. And they really support you and all of that.
With BC, the hockey program seemed to stand out a lot, especially on the men's end. So when it came time for you to graduate and decide, am I going to go pro? What differences did you notice between you and your male counterparts?
Well, I knew that they distinctly had the NHL, and you know, if they're good, they'd go, they'd get drafted. And for the women, I got lucky. I can only say that I got lucky that I was in an age where, you know, I had not necessarily a professional league, but an amateur professional league in the CWHL, which is the Canadian Women's Hockey League. I remember not knowing if I wanted to play in that league because I had been playing for so long. I didn't make the Olympic, I guess, quad to then try out for the Olympics. So I was kind of down and out, and I didn't necessarily know, okay, I want to keep playing or if I don't want to play. And I remember one of my teammates, Drew Burns, that played at BC with me, she was like, Blake, just play in Boston on the Blades team. Like, it'll be fun. You know, you don't necessarily get paid, but your travel's paid for. It's just an experience. And I was like, oh, I'll think about it. I went home for the summer, had 3 jobs. And I was like, what the heck am I doing? I haven't been home in Cleveland for technically 8 years, having spent 4 years in Lake Placid and 4 years in Boston. And being home after you graduate, you're kind of like, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And so I just literally woke up and was like, I'm going to Boston. Yeah. And I called Digit Murphy, who was the coach at the time. I was like, if you want to draft me, I'm ready. And she was like, heck yes. And I was like, all right, cool.
And you end up being the first black woman to get drafted in the first round for the CWHL.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But during that time, you're playing hockey, something that you love, but you still had to have a job on the side.
Yeah.
Eventually, the NWHL gets reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
How has that transition been as well?
Well, I just remember deciding to move to Boston, knowing that Boston is a pretty expensive city to live in, one. And I didn't know where I was going to live because I just woke up and say, hey, I'm going to move to Boston. And so I was like, I didn't have a job. I just kind of took a leap of faith. I went on a lot of job sites online and, you know, called up my BC alums and people to help me network and try to find something that was a good fit. And I started working at a nonprofit organization called Inner City Weightlifting.
You're wearing the sweater right now.
I'm wearing the sweater right now. Yeah, I love it. And they just were just there with open arms, and it was a perfect fit. I graduated with a psychology and human development double major, and they were all about empowering youth and, you know, lifting them up for them to know that they can just say no to violence and yes to opportunity. And I was all about that, and it was an addition because it was weightlifting. Mm-hmm. And I knew all about that too, so I was like, this is awesome. And I was like, okay, well, I'm supposed to be here. So I got a full-time job, 9 to 5, and the travel was tough because we had bus trips to Toronto, which is 10 hours away, mm-hmm. and then Montreal, which is 7, and then we'd fly to Calgary. And it was, you know, the first year, I was just like, this is insane.
So I had to go back to work on Monday.
Yeah, we'd get home at like 5 a.m. I'd get like an hour sleep and just get back up and do it all over again.
Exactly. So what's next for you? You're at the it's weird because you're what they call the glass ceiling has kind of arrived for you in the world of women's hockey.
Yeah.
But what more can you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what more I could do. I really am just playing because I found a good rhythm, and it just really makes my soul dance, and it's just so fun for me. So I'm really not ready to, you know, hang them up because I don't think that my skill is completely
gone. Of course not.
Gone.
You're still young.
Yes, I'm only 25. So I don't know. I want to check out every facet of women's hockey. I'm thinking about playing overseas for maybe a season or two.
We still have to get you to the Olympics.
Yeah, and maybe the Olympics if they will have me. And, you know, I'm loving playing on the Pride right now. The girls that I'm playing with now, I've been out of college for 3.5, 4 years. So this is going on my 4th season out of college, and the girls that I've started playing on the Blades with are still with me now, and it's awesome because it's almost as though we've been
like a family.
Yeah, it's we've just been there together. We've grown up. We're watching the game change and seeing better opportunities for women and being role models, and that's all, you know, we go to our games and we look up in the stands and there's, you know, 1,000 little kids up there screaming our names, and it's an amazing feeling. And, you know, to other people it might not be the biggest deal, women's hockey, who cares, but to us, we care, and we're making a splash and making people pay attention. So I think that's what it's all about.
I always compare you to the main character of Pitch, and you start blushing when I say it because you said you love her, but
yeah, she's gorgeous.
In her world, in the show, she's the first woman to make it in Major League Baseball, which I don't know if we'll see that anytime soon, but
yeah, that'd be awesome.
In the show, she ends up having a point where she feels so much pressure. She's also a black woman in a major league that's predominantly white and male. Mm-hmm. So the same goes for you in a sense, even though you do have been blessed the opportunity to have a league for women. Do you ever feel that pressure that you're somewhat representative of black women in the sport?
Definitely not a pressure. It's more of a privilege, actually. And it took me a while to even notice it. When I started playing in the CWHL, black girls would come up to me and ask for my autograph, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Who am I?
Who am I? And more and more, you know, as I progress playing professional hockey and just in these two different leagues, it's just people are taking notice, and I feel as though I'm comfortable with that role, that, you know, being a role model in that facet, and I just hope that more African-American women are inspired to play because it changed my life completely. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have ice hockey, And I don't know if I'd be in the city sitting here talking to you, you know, and it just brings so much happiness and joy. And really, people fall in love with the sport like their entire lives. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll still be playing beer leagues when I'm done. But, you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Anybody who wants to play any color, purple, brown, blue, doesn't matter. Just pick up a stick and try it out. And if, you know, anybody ever wants to know my story, just come up and ask, and I'd be more than happy to share it with them.
Thank you so much, Blake Bolden of the Boston Pride.
Yes.
You can find her on Twitter at SportBlake.
Yep.
I got that
Sport
right?
SportBlake. Yeah, you got it. It's pretty simple. I wasn't creative when I made that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Official Review Podcast. I'm assuming if you made it this far, then you must have enjoyed it, or you just stuck with it out of curiosity. But either way, I appreciate it, and hopefully you'll tune in next week.